Good evening, brothers and sisters. This is Rachel Seller, the forensic nurse, exposing medical crime, one misdiagnosis at a time. Today is March 29th, 2020. And with me today, I have a very special guest. This is Dr. Prudvi Karamanchi. I call him Prudent Prudvi. Dr. K, thank you so much for coming.
Hi, Rachel. Thank you for inviting me on your show. I greatly appreciate this opportunity to talk to your audience.
Well, today we're going to be talking about medical cannabis, and I wanted to give Dr. K a report. So I got a report from a pharmacist saying that they've seen an increase in the benzodiazepam prescriptions, which is the Valium, which is the Xanax, and these things are really addicting. And I personally, I tried benzos back in the day when I had a script, and I remember I felt like I did not metabolize it very well. I felt that they were very habit-forming, and I kept taking them even though I wasn't really getting a good effect. And I just don't want to see a bunch of people become junkies because of this crisis right now and how we can manage anxiety with natural medicine.
I agree with you, Rachel. So I believe there are several reasons playing into why people are more anxious these days. I think the big thing is the COVID-19 thing, but also like what's happening with the politics, the elections, what's happening with the economy. They're being hit from so many different angles. So it's really understandable why they would be more anxious. A lot of people may be depressed. You know, there are a lot of people are losing jobs. A lot of businesses are shutting down because of social distancing and all the lockdown and all the restrictions. So it's, for somebody who's middle class, you know, or it's a really difficult time. Are you able to hear me?
Yeah, I thought you went out for a second.
Yeah. So for somebody who's middle class or poor, it's a really difficult time. You know, obviously, if you're rich, you know, you have assets to, you know, to cushion what's happening. So there are so many factors causing this, you know, we can call it the epidemic of anxiety.
Yeah. And the thing about it is we have this electromagnetic radiation always in the background. I want to remind people, when you're around these things, the Wi-Fi sets off a reaction in your body, and it's the fight or flight. It's running from the bear. The adrenaline's going, and this can be very depleting to the body. So I want to just tell you about, like, before I met you, there was a medical cannabis clinic, a retired doctor who was actually Dr. Deutscher, Eddie Deutscher in our area. He's a retired eye surgeon. He started doing the medical cannabis cards. I worked really closely with them for a period of time, and what I witnessed was the side effects, which are actually good, was that people had increased mood. People's blood pressure was going down. And the compounding pharmacist in Italy, his name is Fabio, he's on LinkedIn, he taught me about the myrcene and the limonene, which are the terpenes in the cannabis, which is actually antiviral, highly anti-cancer. And we know this. This is old news. Anti-cancer, antiseptic, because I said, I know cannabis has antiseptic properties. And so, no, it's like we really want to put everybody on benzos and then have them addicted in 6 months and deal with withdrawal, because these are dangerous drugs when you're coming off of them. It can be.
I agree with you. So the problem with benzodiazepines is, unfortunately, you know, that's the gold standard treatment for traditional medicine, or if you talk to the psychiatrist, they prefer that over everything else. Some doctors use SSRIs, like something like Prozac and so forth. So the benzodiazepines are like something that's short-acting, like Ativan or lorazepam. It is fast-acting. It relieves anxiety quickly and gets out of the system. But the problem is long-term use has led to dependence, where the client is used to taking the benzodiazepine whenever they're having an anxiety attack, and they're reliant on that. And there are regulations on the prescriptions. So some doctors may not give you refills. You know, you may have to go back to the doctor or call the doctor's office every month. And you eventually become dependent on the system. And also, I've noticed that a lot of research has come across recently that that showed that benzodiazepine use is associated with pneumonia. And we see that a lot in the older clients, and they develop pneumonia over and over every 3 months. You know, we treat them with heavy antibiotics, but it comes back again in 3 months. And we never understood why it was happening. One of the possibilities is, or one of the reasons will be, you know, using benzodiazepine. And I also noticed in my sleep practice that people who use benzodiazepine for anxiety, they also develop dependence. When they go to bed, they have to take a dose so that they calm down and fall asleep.
Yeah.
And that's another problem.
You know, that was the one thing pushing the pill cart. It was like, if a patient wasn't there, or if I had to skip or go somewhere else, that it was like, okay, what happens if you skip this med, you know, and they've been on it, and then if I want them to have a potential reaction. I felt like bondage and chains. And another thing was with addiction medicine, I came up with a lot of my own protocols. And so if you were going to get someone off the drugs, the methadone, I didn't want the seizure drugs. I didn't want that because I said cannabis will work just fine on the nervous system and prevent seizures perfectly. And so I have a friend who had cerebral palsy. He had a cord injury at birth and he had low oxygen. So they put him on seizure drugs his whole life. Then he ended up with some kind of blood cancer. But I said, you know, cannabis will work just fine. And now he's on cannabis. But about the respirations, most of us don't breathe enough. Now I was telling you about the whole mask thing, that it's going to lower our oxygen, but the benzodiazepines also depress the respiratory system.
I agree with you. So especially at nighttime, it becomes a really big deal because you're dealing with the brain independently or involuntarily working with the diaphragm and the chest muscles. And if there is suppressing, if there is a medication that is suppressing the respiratory centers in the brainstem, then you're initially looking at like mild collapse of the lower lungs. And I think that's what sets them up for pneumonia and other things.
Yeah.
And also their oxygen levels goes down slightly. It may be very slight, but their oxygen level is not the same as when they're not using benzodiazepine when they're sleeping.
Wow, that is so profound. And then remember, when you're low oxygen, your immune system is going to be low. So I can give you lots of vitamin C, but you need oxygen to drive all those reactions in the body. And so everyone knows, Dr. K is a medical doctor and he's an emergency room physician and a integrative holistic practitioner. So I wanted to let everyone know he can do telemedicine nationwide. He can offer you phone consultations, whatever it is that you need, including the medical cannabis. And right now, with everything that's going on, we really need to shift into a more sophisticated approach of treating these things. And natural medicine has always been the gold standard, in my opinion. And these are the lost arts. These are the suppressed. I've got all the Townsend Letter magazines right here. I mean, hold on. Just to show you one of these. This one was about natural treatment of AIDS, HIV. You know what? It's just all this stuff, there's been a battle since the formation of the AMA. Let's just be real about it. And natural practitioners and homeopathy and all natural stuff has always been, you know, attacked and suppressed. That's the bottom line. I remember in nursing school, there were studies that were omitted from my textbook. And it all, there was like 2 pages on holistic stuff. So I couldn't get enough of that.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, I was trained in traditional medicine. And during my training, I did certification as yoga. Trainer, and then I got into energy healing, and I eventually got into all these other areas because of my particular keen interest. And my goal is to make the client or the patient self-sufficient, because I don't want them to depend on me or the medical practice forever, because that's a bad model. That's not sustainable. You know, that's where the costs keep going up.
Yeah, this is okay. So let me just tell you a little bit about this. When I remember working in facilities, and I remember there was a doctor that came in and there was always like, oh my gosh, like he prescribes cannabis, you know, and I was in the facility, I wasn't allowed to say anything about it. I used to study my drug book, by the way, my nurse pocketbook when I was a CNA. I knew my drugs inside and out, which ones raise liver enzymes. And this particular person is a slow metabolizer and everyone's genetic profile is different. And what I found was, you know, the pharmacogenomics, the whatever word they want to use, is that every person is very, very different. And so I wasn't allowed to say anything about it. Weren't allowed to have it. We had anxiety in the elderly. We had cancer. We had appetite loss. And here I was pushing a cart full of junk meds. And I said, me and the nurses all said this. We all agreed. We're poisoning these people.
I agree with you. You know, when I was in a nursing home practice, I did for several years before I got into the natural side. I used to prescribe hundreds and hundreds of prescriptions for narcotics, because the problem is with narcotics, the state rule mandates that you have to have a new prescription each month.
Right.
Refills. So I used to prescribe so much that one day when I was in a meeting, you know, we usually go to monthly meetings called mortality and morbidity in the hospital. And the forensic pathologist would come in and we talk about essentially clients who died and how they died and if there's a mistake or whatever. We review some cases. In one of those meetings, I was sitting right by him, or I walked across him, I don't remember. He actually, you know, he became rude and he said, "Oh, you're causing so many deaths in the state." And I was surprised. I said, "Hey, you know, I'm just doing you know, what I know best. You know, I prescribe medications, I prescribe narcotics, and these people need narcotics." So when he said that, I was initially offended, but then when I went home and looked at like the whole situation, then I realized, you know, maybe, you know, these older people are dying eventually because of side effects from the medication or whatever. Yeah. So,
you know, this is so profound because it just brings back the memories of, I remember working in facilities. So we had the dementia patients. We were in a locked unit. So I literally, because it's all a money thing. So if you have a locked unit, it's a different price and all this whole thing, politics. So here I was chasing one of them escaped. She got out in the middle of the night, went to Walgreens. She was very confused. Now, we got to our wit's end where I only had a small amount of Ativan to give her. Ativan didn't work. We could give her all the Ativan. It didn't matter. And then it becomes a fall risk. She's going to fall over. But my thing was, cannabis would have been so helpful at that time. Here I was with my hands tied, trying to chase confused elderly people around the building who are, so they would say, "Well, give her some vitamin B." I said, "What's that?" That was code for, if you didn't really have an order for anything, give them a Benadryl. And then it was like, "Well, I don't want to break the rules and give someone a Benadryl." Then she's running amok all night, and it's a safety thing, you know?
Right. Yeah. It's hard, you know. It's hard for the nursing staff. It's hard for the practitioners. It's very difficult. So I think that's where, you know, cannabis and other things come in, where, you know, they don't have the same side effect profile, and they're extremely regulated. You know, there are so many different forms. People think cannabis is something like you smoke and you get a high. You know, sometimes we don't even prescribe the smoking version. We prescribe the pill or the tincture.
I love the tincture. I'm a tincture person all the way. In my personal opinion, people vape. They're cleaner than they ever were. But at the end of the day, anything that you put in your lungs can impair oxygen, gas exchange, okay? Nothing is really supposed to go in there. I promote the tinctures a lot. My brother has autism, okay? And I don't know where we would be without the cannabis. And there are people... I mean, this is old news. The autism community, cannabis is so therapeutic. But when, how it acts on the endocannabinoid system, and there's the CB1 and CB2 receptors, tell me about that, how it has the healing therapeutic effect on the body.
Yeah, that's a good point. In body, everything's about balance. You know, if you have one system going up, the other system will compensate. So similarly, body has an endocannabinoid system. And, you know, we are never taught in medical school that there's something called an endocannabinoid system. I had to learn by myself. And in the endocannabinoid system, the brain actually has receptors in multiple locations where they'll respond to the cannabinoid. You know, the cannabinoids can be found in CBDOL. They're also, some of them are in the THC, which is the marijuana. So by adjusting the right dosage, by using the right variety of the or right strain of the THC, you can target some of those receptors and bring in a therapeutic effect.
I think this is a great time, and this can actually alleviate a lot of patient loads by shifting focus off the benzos. I mean, it's 2020, okay? And benzos is not the gold standard, all right? We have natural things, and we have things that have mood elevation alone. And what they found was, like, I had... there was a lady with like chronic hypertension. I remember the clinic telling me, they're like, so-and-so is off the opioids, cut their medications in half, because all these side effects was reducing inflammation. For some profound reason, the blood pressure seems to go down with the CBD. We know it's antiseptic, so it's antiviral, it's anti-infection. And then, you know, I think that with all the kids on ADHD medicine, we have an issue with our nervous system as a community, that people are not calm. We're not deep breathing, and we really need that relaxation without the addicting whole junk med. I call them junk meds.
I agree with you. So, Yeah, there's a lot of, especially in the medical world and in traditional MDs, there's a lot of negative view about cannabis. You know, I think they have to really shift that. And part of it is the education, because they're not educated. I was like that several years ago. I was against cannabis, you know, especially when it first started in Colorado. But as I went through training and education, and as I noticed in my own clients, you know, a lot of them started using cannabis, that their pain was controlled, their emotional state was better controlled, they were able to sleep at nighttime. And all of those things will eventually lead to the healing of the problem, whether it is cancer or Crohn's disease or whatever they're prescribed for. So I think there's a lot of education that needs to happen. But in this day and age, you know, people can, there are a lot more doctors who are prescribing cannabis compared to 2 years ago or 5 years ago.
Oh my gosh. I mean, when it first came out, there was an injectable CBD that there's a tribe. It's called the Oklavoya tribe. They actually make it because they're their own entity. And my friend got it for her dog. It was an injectable CBD and I went crazy over it. I was like, we know that they've injected this into tumors and they go away. We're not going to get into the evidence-based science because this is old suppressed stuff, the cannabis and all the therapeutic properties of it. But you know, I'm a Bible girl and it says that God gave us every seed-bearing plant to eat as food, as meat. This is our indigenous medicine.
Yeah, I agree with you. So especially in this day and age when people are experiencing emotional crisis because of whatever is happening.
Yeah.
This may be a great tool for them. A lot of them can't see a psychiatrist. Like, I'll give you an example. In the hospital that I work, there is no physical psychiatrist who comes in anymore. You know, they can only be called on the TV screen on the computer, and they can do a telemedicine consultation. But that's very limited mm-hmm. in terms of therapy. And the same thing with the psychologist. I don't think you can go see a psychologist in this day and age because a lot of their offices are closed because of the virus or whatever.
Well, so, one thing I want to touch on is psychiatric meds in general, I don't recommend people doing the DNA testing for all their genetic stuff because what they do after when they get your DNA is another story. But we found out large majority have an adversity when it comes to breaking down and metabolizing those drugs, especially Asian and African American people. We know that they have sensitivities and you have to get a refill every month. One thing I remember that sticks out was in nursing school, the fatty acid deficiency, which now we have the cannabis and the terpenes and the fatty acids from the plant, reduce the inflammation. Fatty acid deficiency in the brain was one of the reasons for schizophrenia and severe anxiety.
I agree with you. So, you know, a lot of my older clients, you know, or even middle-aged clients, they're all on statin medication. And that messes up the fatty acid and the cholesterol metabolism. And yes. The brain essentially drives on cholesterol and fatty acids.
Yeah.
So because of that, you know, that itself can lead to emotional issues.
Oh, and I want to bring up the video. So Dr. K did a video the other day, and this was a profound thing that hit me. He was talking about all the different medications and how they affect our gut pH and the microbiome, the bacteria. So when we change that, what happens to the immune system?
Yeah, when you mess around with the gut microbiome, whether it's using antibiotics or pesticide in the food or whatever you're doing, it affects your immunity. It causes issues like allergies. It causes suppression of the immunity. You know, you can become susceptible to viruses and bacteria, things like Lyme's disease and mold and so forth. Yeah.
Oh, I want to tell you, this was the public case that a client that I had struggled with. She was a very sick, vaccine injured girl. She found out that she was mold toxic. She also had aluminum in the brain from all the vaccines she got, and she has the dysautonomia. So the heart is spiking up and the blood pressure is dropping, and you had brain fog and all this stuff. And all I could think about was cannabis, cannabis, cannabis. I said, you're in New York. Are there any practitioners in your area that you can find to go get a consultation? Because check this out. The doctor had her on a steroid, and this was flucortisone. When I read the drug insert, it says that it blocks the antibody response in the body. So if she had a secondary infection from mold or whatever, no immune system just from taking this drug.
So yeah, that's really Yeah, that's a really good point. You know, a lot of our clients, whether they have lung problems like a COPD, or as in your case, the other issues like Addison's disease, you know, some of them are chronic steroids, like whether it's prednisone or fludrocortisone, and that knocks out your immunity. So you may have a fungal infection inside brewing, and you may not even know that the infection is brewing, and then so that's a big headache.
So, you know, what I came to was also like the pH in the body. So one of the reasons we want an alkaline body is for greater oxygen binding. Now, we know that Wi-Fi causes the blood cells to stick together. So we're lower on oxygen. When you add any type of chemical in your body, any type, you're either going to block an enzymatic reaction or you're going to bind to a receptor site. So that whole gut thing, that's your immunity. You know, there's so many layers of this. And I'm not going to get into the whole fraudulent testing method thing. I don't want people getting Q-tips stuffed up their nose. Natural medicine, I've got all the protocol binders from the compounding pharmacies, and it was always treating every kind of condition, whether it was AIDS or Lyme disease or virus, with the vitamin C, with the zinc, with the selenium. And these are all things that go in the bag because the soils are stripped, the food quality is been bad for so long. So we have a population that's deficient. We have an iodine deficiency issue with people's thyroids, and we have so much going on.
I agree with you. You know, a lot of my clients question, you know, why are you prescribing all these supplements and so forth? The reason why we are to prescribe these supplements, like, you know, like the vitamins and so forth, is because they are so deficient now that we have to supplement from the outside. And that's where, you know, something like CBD oil or THC or a combination also comes in. You know, a lot of dispensaries are offering one-to-one combination where it's one part CBD, one part THC. So that's a really famous product that dispensaries are offering now.
Oh yeah, that's a good point. I want to touch on that real quick. Some people will try the cannabis and maybe for the first time they don't like it. Now, I have found that with me, it has to be the right strain. I like an indica strain. And they'll say, well, indica's sedating. Well, not for me. And then, you know, you cut half of it with CBD and the other half is THC. So it doesn't have to be when you're in a head fog or anything like that. Everyone's body is going to react different. It's like we really need to start looking at the natural solutions that have always been there. Forget the whole evidence-based stuff. They're basing all this evidence based on nothing that matters most of the time, and they have people divided and distracted and debating over the science. This is an indigenous plant, people, and we have testimony from around the globe. But let me tell you this real quick. So my pastor is from South Africa. He's a white African. He was telling me on my last video about he used to sell the herb when he was in high school. This was like his normal life, you know, part of their culture, and he would smoke it, and that was it.
Yeah, I agree with you. So the problem is, you know, we have gone so far away from the natural world that we have become dependent on prescriptions now. Like, I'll give you an example, like for the new virus deal, like a lot of my partners and friends who are doctors, they're all prescribing hydroxychloroquine and azithromycin. It's not even conclusively proven in a trial, but they're already prescribing it because in their mind, they had to prescribe some medication to cure the virus. You know, that's the problem.
Yeah. And you know, I see that. So like, I want this to be an encouraging video for any practitioner, especially military guys. I see a lot of vaccine injury in the military guys. Let's face it. They're given so many shots. I see they have the anxiety and the PTSD, but one of the side effects to the psychiatric SSRI drugs is suicide. So you're supposed to watch them, and it says right in the literature that they start being happy or giving their stuff away. They might be planning a suicide. And then this was a big thing when kids were on Prozac in high school. There was a lot of suicide and teenage death. And Dr. Marvin Spinago was telling me about it because he found these people were actually mold toxic.
You have
mold in the brain, and then you're treating people with psych drugs. They're actually toxic, okay? So the cannabis is going to work on the nervous system, the brain, and the respiratory system, and it's going to calm that nervous system down and reduce inflammation. Now, if you want to reverse disease, the first place to start is reducing inflammation.
I agree with you. So I've never, you know, I'm friends with a lot of doctors who prescribe cannabis in Tampa and other areas. And I've never heard of any of their clients dying from suicide or, you know, or depression. So,
no, well, there's some things I wouldn't want to say, but I mean, some of the side effects are what, happy, hungry, horny. Oh, and that's another one for people with any type of sexual dysfunction or whatever, because a lot of drugs can have an effect on your sexual system, whether it be erection, blood flow, or just your mood and desire, because that's that sugar, sex, and salt might affect the adrenal part. But happy, hungry, horny.
Yeah. And the reason why, you know, like some clients would say, you know, why don't I just buy recreational? I tell them that, you know, if you're not medically guided, if you don't know the doses, if you're not being seen by a practitioner, then you can get side effects. Sometimes you can overdose, you know, these, the stuff that they get over the counter or recreationally, that dose can vary significantly. And this is much safer than that.
Yeah. I mean, oh, and also in pets, you know, so I remember when my pet was sick and I went to the doctor and I asked, and this really made me mad. Well, let's talk about CBD. Well, we don't really have enough evidence to talk about. Please. Yes, we do. You don't have the evidence. You don't want to talk about it because you're working for Blue Pearl Emergency Vet. At the end of the day, I said, I'm done with the steroids. I'm done with the junk meds. I'm sure as hell not going to vaccinate my pet anymore because she was already sick with autoimmune disease and you don't want to talk about CBD.
I agree with you. You know, there are one or two natural practitioners in the veterinarian world, and I think they're okay with their clients giving the CBD out.
Oh, Dr. Dim is one of them. He's a friend of mine. He's a homeopath, and he's the one reversing all the disease and doing the events, exposing how all these pets are vaccine injured with the cancer and the autoimmune disease, just like humans. So when you look at both models, I mean, all the evidence is there. So chronic inflammation, you know, the paw licking, the chronic infections, it's all inflammation based. So that's really it. I just wanted to, oh, and then the IV vitamin therapy. So Dr. K is in the Tampa Bay area. If you want to reach out, it's INT, wait, say it for me.
INTtherapeutics.com. And the phone number is 813-337-7535.
So vitamin, IV, mineral infusions, if you want to do that to boost your immune system, always remember sunshine over the belly. So we have a holistic practitioner, integrative practitioner, medical doctor here, and reach out to Dr. K. Nationwide telemedicine, don't forget, guys, and you can do cannabis across state lines now.
Yeah.
Ooh, awesome. All right, guys. Well, thank you, Dr. K. We're going to sign off.
Well, thank you very much, Rachel. Good luck with everything. Thanks for this opportunity to talk to your audience. Okay.
All right, guys. Rachel Seller, the forensic nurse. You can reach me at theforensicnurse.org. Hang on one second, Doc. Signing off.